Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike Evans on vacation this week. Jerry Schimmel sitting in for him. So you got a pinch hitter for Mike along with Mark Schlereth. And we're talking about football and the Broncos. And switch gears to baseball for a moment. But Stink, just to go back to the point about first round draft picks not making the big leagues. I'm looking at the list of Rockies first round draft picks. And you tell me if you're hurting these guys. All right. Okay. I mean, there's some great names, some great picks like Todd Helton and some others.
Uh-huh.
But, we got Doug Million. Doug Million has passed away. He never made the big leagues. Mark Magnum, Jason Fitzgerald, Matt Roney, Jeff Winchester. These names ringing a bell at all?
No.
Yeah, no, me either. Let's see. Casey Weathers. Tyler Matzik got a cup of coffee, and then he had all kinds of trouble. Tim Wheeler, he was a talented guy, never made the big leagues. Kyle Parker for a few moments. Peter Tago. I mean, there's a long list of guys that first-round picks never made it. But, yeah, less than half.
Yeah.
So it's baseball is different that way.
Baseball is tough. Mentally, baseball is, I mean, you're failing. Hall of Famers fail 3 out of 10 times, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game of failure. I think mentally, baseball is incredibly hard. It just is. And so, yeah, it's hard to make it to the big leagues. It's hard to make it to the show.
Yeah. I asked, Dan O'Dowd one time. I said, you know, cause we had this discussion one time about former Rockies GM about scouting and signing guys and drafts and all that. And he said, it's just so hard because there's so many guys. He said, I have a list of dozens of guys that I thought were absolute can't miss prospects, especially pitchers. And it's just, you never know. Guys don't have they lose their passion for it. They get hurt. They just can't figure it out. I mean, in basketball and football, you draft a guy in the first round, you have a pretty good idea he's going to play, and he's probably going to contribute. Not across the board.
Right, but he's going to get that opportunity. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
If you're the Rockies and you know, you're pitching at altitude and then you come up through their organization, you know, you can come up and you can go fast track through the organization. You get into the Pacific Coast League and like the Pacific Coast League is, if you have a 4.5, you're doing really well in that. And like the ball just flies. You're in Albuquerque. You were in Colorado Springs. You're in all these places, right?
Reno. Yeah, you're right.
You're Reno. You're up where do the Mariners have theirs is in Tacoma, just outside of Tacoma, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the ball just flies out of all these parks.
Yeah.
It just flies. And so, you know, you think you're rolling and all of a sudden you get to AAA and you find a snafu, you get snagged and you just get pummeled in that league. And then your confidence is shot.
Exactly.
You don't feel like you can get an out, you know, and then instead of just going up there and trying to mow through dudes, you know, and be like, you know, you got to have this attitude of if it gets hit, it gets hit. I don't care. But now all of a sudden you're trying to be perfect, right? You're trying to paint. You're trying to do this. And then you even get, you know, shelled that much more. So it's hard to come up.
Yeah.
Especially here, you know.
Rockies picked a guy in 2016 that looked like a can't miss guy. Riley Pint from Kansas City as a right-handed pitcher, 6'4", 200, beautiful, and a body size for a pitcher and all that. Threw 103 or something in a high school game. Like, man. And the Rockies got him. They dropped a 4 and they got him. Guy can't throw a strike.
Right.
He can't throw strikes. He'd walk in everybody. I mean, those kind of things happen too.
Yeah.
Where you just can't find the strike zone if you're a pitcher.
Well, absolutely. You know, I'll tell you a funny story. So when my son was with the Tigers, he's with the Tigers and he has a couple of outings where, you know, he's not great in the strike zone. And they send him down to AAA. So he goes down to AAA, goes down to Toledo Mudhens, and he just mows through the lineups, right?
Mm-hmm.
He mows through the lineups. And I think he threw like 12 innings. He had like 27 strikeouts and, you know, and a 0.68 ERA or whatever, right? And so they bring him back up and I'm watching the broadcast because I used to watch the Tigers broadcast every day when I wasn't out there, right? And he's being interviewed like, oh, you really fixed it. He really figured it out down there in AAA. What are you doing? What'd you do different? And my son looked at the report and goes, nothing.
Did he really?
Yeah. He goes, I didn't do anything different. He goes, it's AAA. He goes, the strike zone is bigger and the hitters aren't as good.
That sums it up.
Right? He's like, hey, man, it's not the big leagues. Man, yeah. It's like, what was the coach for, Dan Hawkins? This ain't your murals, guys. You know, I mean, it's like it's AAA. It's not the big league. And you think about AAA. Here's the other thing about AAA. You've got two guys on any AAA roster that are really big league players, right?
Yeah.
They really have a chance. So as long as you're careful with those two guys, you mow through.
Yeah.
You mow through AAA lineups as a pitcher.
Yeah.
If you're good, right, you'll mow through them. You just got to be careful with those two dudes.
Yeah.
You know, just don't give them anything elevated, and you'll survive in AAA.
Yeah.
And so there are some false numbers that also, like, you'll see a guy through the minors that all of a sudden you'll be like, oh, yeah, this guy, his numbers are great, and he'll get to the big leagues. And like, well, how come? Well, it's a different game.
You see that all the time. And then you see, if you look at the top prospect lists on teams, you're seeing guys that have a 6.4 ERA. It's like, what? How can it be a top prospect? The guy can't get any outs. Right. He's got a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
No, because he's got potential. Because he puts it together.
Right.
You got something.
But that's the other thing that's frustrating is that
you don't always.
It's
do
like
that.
Like the kid you talked about. They drafted through 103 in high school.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, it's great that you have potential, but at some point. Potential, we used to say it all the time in the NFL, potential gets you fired.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, you got to put it together. At some point, you got to get outs. At some point, you got to be put in a situation where, you know, it becomes rubber meets the road time, and you got to find a way to make a pitch.
Exactly right.
And it's a hard thing to do, man. It's a really hard thing to do.
Ryan Miltapia of the Rockies said yesterday that his goal this year was to win the league MVP. Bold statement there.
Yeah, bold statement, Con.
I know this. In a 60-game schedule, anything's going to happen.
Right.
You're probably going to have a guy hit 400. I mean, there's a chance that could happen.
It won't count, but
you're right. Yeah.
There'll be an asterisk.
But there'll be a guy that hits 400 in 2020, possibly. I mean, there's a decent chance of that. And the MVP could be about anybody, too. I don't see Raimel Tapia being that MVP, but I like the fact that he's got some lofty goals.
Yeah, I like the way he plays, man. He plays with a fearless attitude, and he flies around, and he plays the game the way it should be played. And I'll tell you what, for a little skinny dude,
he's a little stronger than you think he is.
He's strong. He's sneaky strong.
Yes, he is.
Right? He's sneaky strong. The other thing is like, you know, we get those guys like Ken Griffey Jr. that they take a swing, even when they miss the baseball, right? You're like, oh my God, that swing is beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I've never one time said, man, Tapia's swing is just like it. It's not pretty. It looks like it's got some holes, right? But he just finds a way to put the bat on the ball. He's one of those guys, you know, that if you just played by the numbers, like you just played by the number, he probably is one of those guys you'd be like, well, I don't know, you know? Like you said, sneaky strong. You just don't look, if you looked at him, you wouldn't think that he'd be the guy, but it's like I watched a broadcast the other day of Cole, not the other day, a year ago, about Cole Hamels and the pitcher, the lefty, and the broadcast guys, like, here's a guy that's consistently 3 ERA, you know, one of the top strikeout guys in baseball, he eats up innings, you know, 92-94 from the left side, he's got good off-speed stuff, but does not do anything that would be considered elite on a Rapsodo report. Like, and the broadcasters were like, here's the problem that baseball faces right now. If Cole Hamels was coming up today, he would never get an opportunity because none of his numbers are elite anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Except when he gets on the mound, he just cuts people up.
He just gets out. Yeah.
Outs. And, you know, one of the things that my son always complains about is, like, I got great spin rates and everything else. I mean, that's not an issue. But there are a lot of guys have great spin rates or throw really hard 98, but they don't hide the ball. You just see it out of the hand,
right.
And hitters. I mean,
there's no movement.
I had a coach tell me once a big league hitter could time a 747 and he'd give him two hacks. That 100 miles an hour doesn't. They're not scared
right.
of that, right?
Right.
So if you can get a guy that like, why does some guys throw 92 and they throw it by guys? It's because you can't pick it up. It's all of a sudden it's like it's shot out from. It's like the guy releases it, and you don't pick it up until it's halfway at you. You know, yep. You don't see it out of his hand. He does a great job of hiding it. There's deception. So one of the things that the Rapsodo reports and all these things don't do, they don't measure deception.
Mm-hmm.
And deception is you either have it or you don't. That's what I've learned. Like, there's guys that have deception that don't throw hard, that all they do is get people out.
Yeah. I have so many guys, so many Rockies especially, say, you know what, the guy's only throwing 90, but, man, all of a sudden that ball's on you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're talking
about.
Can't
see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I got to throw this in. Raimel Tapia is referred to as by my wife as Cutie Pie. So let's wish Cutie Pie.
All right, Cutie Pie.
Cutie Pie. She likes those locks. All right, Colin Cowherd is a friend of Stinks here. We're going to talk about him and his predictions with the Broncos this year next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Mike Evans out this week. Mike is having his dog neutered, so he's home taking care of the dog. So Jerry Schimmel sitting in for him with Mark Schlereth. Remind you that Mile High Memories, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air, Episode 11. We'll take a look back at the career of Terrell Davis. Sandy's on vacation this week. Filling in for him will be Adam Schefter. It drops this weekend. Episode 10 available right now. Sandy's top 10 trades in Denver sports history. Get it wherever you download your podcast or at the website, 1043thefan.com. Colin Cowherd is a man I've never met, but a good friend of Stinks. He had this to say yesterday about the Broncos.
Denver. So I like Drew Lock, 4-1 down the stretch, only lost to Kansas City. But what I really like is Elway has gone all in on offense. They went and got Melvin Gordon. They drafted Jerry Jeudy, two wide receivers in their high picks. They also went and got A.J. Bouye, corner, and Jarrell Casey. But you can sense that Elway knows we're not going to stop Kansas City. We got to get some firepower. And they went running. They already had good running back. They went running back, quarterback with a big arm, wide receivers, Fant the tight end. I think Denver's going to be better offensively than anybody thinks. And I think they match up now pretty well with Kansas City.
Colin Cowherd ranking his top 10 most interesting teams of 2020, had the Broncos at number 9. Thoughts on that? That a good spot for them? And what do you think about his comments?
I mean, I think they are interesting. Like, they're a really interesting team when you think about it the way Colin Cowherd thinks about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're a huge fan of fantasy football, then yeah, I totally get it. I get those draft picks. I get trying to match speed of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, I understand what teams think. Now, me personally, I don't believe that's how you beat them. I don't believe that anybody who has beaten the Kansas City Chiefs I've watched every loss the last 2 years.
It's only six of them, right?
Eight of them total, including playoffs.
Okay.
All right, but I have watched every one of those and gone through that film with a fine-tooth comb. Nobody outran the Kansas City Chiefs, not one of those teams. Not one. So now, you may think that to compete with them, you have to turn it into a track meet. Right? And I understand that philosophical approach. Like, we gotta be able to run with them. You think the Tennessee Titans can run with them? No. You think, do you think Houston? Yeah, Houston, maybe Houston can run with them. You know, back when they had Fuller at one wide receiver position, and although DeAndre Hopkins doesn't win because he outruns people. Like, DeAndre Hopkins, if you line him up in a 40 with the elite NFL wide receivers.
Not there.
If you took them, if you took the top 20 just kind of elite wide receivers, he come in the bottom 10 of a 40 time. Nick, DeAndre Hopkins wins with unworldly body strength, that he doesn't look like he's got that kind of body strength. And the dude has just an unreal catch radius, competes for the ball while it's in the air. I did a game of Houston a couple years ago, and I took a picture, I have it, of his hand against my hand. Now, I played 12 years in the NFL as a starting offensive lineman. His fingers, like if I put my hand up here, his fingers rise above my fingers by over a full inch.
Do they really?
Oh yeah.
So you took
that
picture?
Yeah, I could dig through my phone and take me an hour, but I could find the picture. It's
interesting.
It's unreal. And he's just got unbelievable, like he's one of those freaks of nature body strength guys, you know, that there are those guys that are just created that way. So again, you think that all of a sudden, because you got Jerry Jeudy, who's, you know, was one of the great college receivers we have seen, and you got KJ Hamler, who can run like the wind, and you went out and got another tight end that can run, you're looking at things like, oh, now we can run with the Kansas City Chiefs. And what I have said ad nauseum, if you would listen, is what sets the Kansas City Chiefs offense apart, obviously they have the best quarterback in football, but what really sets them apart is the amount of five wides, or the amount of five receivers, not five wides, but five receivers they can get out of the pattern about 80% of the time. They don't want to run the ball. They don't want to be balanced. They don't want to do any of that stuff. They want to get five guys out in the pattern, which means you got to have five guys up front that can hold up. And that, to me, is what sets them apart. Everybody thinks, well, if we could just run with Kansas City. No, well, you can't. But I understand the philosophical approach. But to be able to do that, you got to hold up front.
Yeah.
Right? And
And
that's an issue. You can't. I don't think you can. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, I understand Colin Cowherd's excitement. The other thing is, you got for all intents and purposes, you got a rookie quarterback. You're counting on two rookie wide receivers. You're counting on, you know, a second year tight end. You're counting on a third year wide receiver, and you're counting on a rookie center. And, you know, and everybody just goes, well, he'll be fine. He's great. He's smart. You know, like anything, there's a adjustment period coming into the NFL and playing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a lot of ifs, you know, there's a lot of things that have to happen.
Right.
For this team to be able to compete. And listen, I don't disagree that they had to get more athletic. I don't disagree that they had to get better on the outside. I don't disagree that they had to, you know, that they had to bolster the roster in those areas. But to think that you're going to count on rookies and first-year players to really rise up and take on an offense that has been in place since 2013, that has just stacked one concept on top of another and has grown since 2013 and just came off a world championship with the best quarterback in football, and seven or eight top 10 players on their roster in the league, to think that all of a sudden this year you're competing with that, I think that is foolish. I think it's foolhardy.
I think that's why, in my opinion anyway, those who say, hey, this team might be a year away, when you've got a new offensive coordinator, all those young players you're talking about, mm-hmm. basically rookie quarterback, the coronavirus season is going to be kind of crazy too. Maybe 2021 is that year for the Broncos. It sure seems to stack up that way. Hey, four down territory, folks, is coming up next.
Are you ready for some football?
This is Four Down Territory.
Words cannot say how much I truly love you.
Donkey Kong Sue.
Double team, leaping high, falling hard.
No soy fiesta.
Hurry,
hurry. On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
The fake right there, Allen downfield. Oh, it's picked off on the play by Simmons. One of the best players on this defense. One of the best safeties in the game. Justin Simmons has just picked off Josh Allen.
Westwood One, we cite there Kevin Harlan on the play-by-play call of the Broncos. Justin Simmons, the latest with him is no long-term contract. At least that's what we're looking at until 2 o'clock today.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously things can get done. deadlines spur action. So, you know, we'll see if anything happens between now and then. I mean, it's not like at $11.5 million or whatever it is, you know, you're going to go, you know, you're going to have a tough time. Yeah. So, I mean, that part is good for Justin Simmons. Obviously, they have to play for you to get paid, but, you know, it'd been nice to reward a young, great citizen in our community that's a great football player. It'd be nice to reward him with a long-term deal. That would have been a nice little, you know, a nice little feather in the cap of the Broncos.
Have you ever worked with Kevin Harlan, by the way?
No, I have not worked with him.
Met him before?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, he's got a lot of energy.
Yeah, for sure.
So when I started in the NBA, he and I were the announcers for the Timberwolves. And here's my Kevin Harlan play-by-play call. There's a lob inside to Stanley Roberts. He turns. He dunks. Stanley Roberts is dealing. Stanley Roberts is killing people. Stanley Roberts is the man. 2-0, Minnesota Timberwolves lead the game.
Right, yeah. That, his call about the cat that was on the field, and he was done. I mean, he's not only doing the cat call, but he was at the same, he was doing the play-by-play, he was doing the play-by-play of the cat, and working in commercial. Like, I mean, it was he's the most phenomenal thing I've ever heard.
He's pretty funny. Next up on Four Down Territory.
Second down.
Bortles in the two-minute offense. Three wide left, one wide to the right. Bortles will run a screen. It's intercepted! It's picked out of the sky! It's picked at 10-5! Touchdown! Kansas City! Chris Jones!
Another Kansas City Chief has signed a contract. That is Chris Jones. A deal 4 years, up to $85 million. Contracts are getting done in Kansas City.
They certainly are. And then you start to look at, in a day and age where 30% of your roster every year turns over, 20 of 22 starters are returning in Kansas City. We talk so much about their offense, but what people don't realize is they were the number one scoring defense in football like the last 6-7 weeks
That's
of the
crazy.
Season.
Yeah.
So they really figured, defensively, they really figured it out. Now, they gave a bunch of scores during the playoffs. You know, they battled back from double-digit deficits. So what did they have? What they were down, to Houston, like 24-0 or something.
Yeah, I think it was 12. I thought it was 23 points. It might have been 24, yeah.
24-3 or something. Yeah. There, whatever it was. I mean, it was unbelievable before Houston gacked that up on a fake punt and everything else. But yeah, during the last 6 weeks of the season, that defense was really good.
Yep. All right. Next up on Four Down Territory.
Down.
Bell in the back here with Falk. He's back to pass on first and a bundle, and he's going to get hit down at the 2 and spun down again. As the Browns get in it, Myles Garrett does it again.
And Browns making news with a contract signing. They're apparently finalizing a 5-year, $125 million extension with Myles Garrett. Now, that sounds like a tremendous amount of money. Man, this guy can play, though.
Oh, there.
This guy can play.
Listen, he is an absolute just freak of nature.
Oh.
Obviously, you know, I mean, people will remember the helmet swinging situation there against the Pittsburgh Steelers and, you know, hitting Rudolph, the quarterback, in the head, Mason Rudolph. But he certainly can play. You know, I mean, you know, from a talent standpoint, there's no question that Cleveland, you know, you can make a compelling argument. They're one of the most talented teams in football.
No question. Yeah.
I just know, having played for a long time and covered this game for a long time, it takes a lot more than talent to be good.
Yeah, I got you. Next up on Four Down Territory.
Fourth down.
Still had that same Liberty City mentality. I don't care nothing about that. It's a great accomplishment. One of the highest accolades to have once you have an NFL career. The highest. I don't control it, but I know what I don't do is I don't play politics. I ain't going to be begging and hollering and crying. Let me in. Let me in.
Chad Johnson. Chad Ochocinco is saying he's not going to beg the Hall of Fame to be admitted there. He had a pretty good career, Stank. 10 years. He had 766 catches. He had a while there in the early to mid-2000s where he was really good, one of the best in the game. Hall of Famer in your mind with those numbers?
Boy, you know, I'd like to look at it. There's just, you know, there is such a large number of receivers.
There are.
You know, it's such a big number. And, you know, I think, obviously he played in Cincinnati and they had some really good teams back in the day. But, You know, I think championships and those things kind of help put you over the top.
Yeah.
He was damn good, though. He was a really good player. So I don't know if I'm ready to make him a Hall of Famer, but he was a really good player.
Never had 100 receptions in a season. He went 90 in a stretch where he went 90 receptions, 95, 97, 87, and 93. Like I said, in those 2003 through 6 or 7, he was really good. I mean, racking up the yards, obviously, as well. Chad Oak, one of the great names. I don't know if you like Ocho Cinco, but it's an interesting name, to say the least. And there are certainly some cool names in sports history. I remember when I first came in the NBA, there was a guy named God Sham God.
I remember that name.
You remember that name?
Yeah. I do.
Well, how do you forget that name?
Yeah, right.
Wasn't a great player, point guard, and I couldn't even tell you where he played, but yeah.
Yeah.
That was his given name, God Sham God.
Yeah, well, Chad, obviously Chad Johnson to Chad Ocho Cinco, but and then it becomes like, when you start doing that, it just feels like it's more about the sizzle than it is the steak.
Yeah.
I love Chad, though. Chad is Chad's a friend. Yeah. A guy that I've, you know, just over the years had an affinity for. So I've always been honest with him. So, you know.
Is there anybody you're not honest with?
But I've always loved the guy. So we have an interesting relationship. Let's say that.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Do you have that love hate relationship? I love him. He hates me.
No, he loves me.
Oh, okay.
Chad, like when I go to Miami, we sit down. Sat down and had lunch together, and you know, and yeah. But there's, you know, like I'll hold you accountable.
Yeah.
If you're going to act like an idiot, I'm going to say you're acting like an idiot. You know?
You're being honest with him.
Right. So anyhow, I don't know, just as interesting.
Yeah.
I love the guy.
Well, he's an interesting fella. There's no question about that. Hey, coming up next in The Fan, we've got our man, Troy Rank. Stay with us. Mike Evans taking some time off this week. Mike is studying for his GED, so he's going to miss this week, and Jerry Schimmel is sitting in for him with Mark Schlereth. And let's go to the telephone and talk to our man, Troy Boy. Troy Rank, it's sponsored by Trinity Law. And, Troy, we got to ask you first about Justin Simmons. It looks like that thing is not going to get done, a long-term deal. In your mind, is there any chance before 2 p.m. today that they strike a deal?
It's unlikely, Jerry. In January, we expected a deal to get done with Justin. Spinelli wanted to get done. Justin Simmons' side wanted it to get done. But the coronavirus has impacted almost every guy that is on a franchise tag. Teams are concerned about lost revenue with no attendance in some stadiums. They're concerned about the future salary cap. I mean, some projections, some people have told me that they expect teams to maybe lose $70 million each this season. So makes it harder for teams to put up upfront money, guarantee signing bonuses. So they love Justin Simmons. It's highly unlikely it gets done by 2 p.m. today. He would play under the franchise tag of $11.4 million. He would be in position for a long-term deal next season. They could also franchise tag him again. That's part of the thing here is they don't have another candidate really on their roster that they would look to franchise tag. So there's just more pros than cons to making him play out one-year deal. The risk is the price goes up, no doubt. But the coronavirus, the pandemic has just changed a lot of the economic realities in the NFL right now.
How are the Kansas City Chiefs getting it done? I mean, we keep looking at this team going, well, they just got Mahomes done. They just got Chris Jones done. They don't seem to be operating under the same parameters. 20 of 22 starters are coming back. I mean, how are they getting it done, and how are we going to compete with them having lost 9 straight to them?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I mean, they're coming off a Super Bowl with additional revenue in that way. The Mahomes contract helped them in that Patrick Mahomes took a $10 million signing bonus. You know, in a contract of nearly $500 million, I mean, he could have asked for a $200 to $250 million signing bonus. You know, he didn't. His guarantee is essentially $140 for an injury guarantee. So he structured his contract. That helped. They were working on the Chris Jones thing for a while. How are they getting it done? They're making the decision as a champion to go for it, and they're betting against some of the uncertainty that some of the teams see in the cap. I mean, if the cap goes down, let's say it goes down 40 to 50 million next year, and you're going to have two to three players on their roster making, you know, in excess of $20 million, they might have a tough decision the following year, but they're willing to just push their chips to the table and say, hey, if they spread the cap thing over 3 years and the cap barely goes down, we're fine. We can make these pieces fit. So, again, they're just in a different spot. I totally understand the frustration of Bronco fans, but they're a team, as you just mentioned, 20 of 22 starters returning. They're willing to just say, hey, this might put us in a pinch following this year, but we don't care because we have a chance to win back-to-back titles.
Hey, Troy, I know we're living in such uncertain times right now. It's so hard to project, but what is your hunch on the NFL schedule this year? Will it start on time in your mind, in your gut, and will they play 16 games?
I mean, the goal is to get 16 games on TV. I mean, that is a huge issue here. I mean, the TV revenue is real, and they have some of those contracts are coming up. So to try to get all those games in and move forward as you negotiate TV contracts, which is another thing that, you know, agents and players expected, was this additional revenue from TV deals that, you know, if their season gets suspended or delayed, that could affect revenue streams as well, obviously. And remember, they have shared revenue between the players and owners, even though it can be a difficult relationship at times. The reality is they share revenue. So my gut, Jerry, is that they start on time right now. I don't think they're going to play a preseason, and it might be one game in the preseason. Again, this is kind of a day-to-day thing as we deal with hot spots around the country. You know, I do wonder if they would start in some places and then delay by a week or two in other places because of the coronavirus. But my gut tells me they're going to do everything to start on time. They have it built in where they could start a month later and get the Super Bowl done at the end of February, and they still have that month to play with. As of right now, I believe they're going to try to start on time. But even if they don't, you could start a month later and still try to get the schedule in. It wouldn't be ideal. But their goal is to get 16 games on TV, 16 regular season games on TV. So don't ever forget that. I mean, you have to follow the money, and that's where it's at. It's getting those regular season games on TV.
I think the other thing you have to look at, Troy, is like 60% of the guys, we learned this about the NFL when, you know, this collective bargaining agreement came to fruition. And thankfully they got this thing done. You know, hindsight being 2020, it's a good thing they got it done, because I don't know what would happen if they hadn't gotten this collective bargaining agreement done. But, bottom line, 60% of the guys are minimum wage players. So, you know, it not only do the owners want to make money and the owners want these games on, the players to get paid, these minimum wage guys, they gotta have this season go. So there's like this mutual wanting to get this thing done. That's why it probably, you know, starts on time, probably gets the majority of it gets done, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of what they're negotiating right now in the resume to play that the owners are, the players, NFLPA is negotiating with the management council is how much would players get paid? Is it, you know, could they get $250,000 if it doesn't start, if it's $500,000, if it starts and stops, you know, some kind of assurances financially if this thing doesn't go off as planned? Because as you mentioned, Mark, I mean, there is a number of the players, more than half, that make minimum. And their career, and people say it's still a great amount of money. It is, and I'm not saying that, but their window to earn it is typically 2 to 3 years. So if you're trying at 21 to make, you know, 80% of your life income, I mean, you have an incentive to play. I mean, there's no way around that. And you have people that would play if some don't. I mean, that's the reality of the NFL, which makes it so hard, is that, you know, if guys opt out, there'll be other guys who will play. And so that's not necessarily the case in other sports. And it's harder to, you know, you can find football guys to play. It wouldn't be the same quality of play. But yeah, that's all stuff to negotiating. It's how to protect the players, how to keep them safe, how to financially give them, you know, what about the opt out for those who have medical risk, or what about those who have family members at risk? It's not unlike some of the things that have been negotiated in the other sports, is trying to give the players some kind of wiggle room here if this thing doesn't start on time, if it doesn't, it stops. And what about those who are taking on a heavy medical risk? Can they opt out with some type of guarantee? What would that date be? So a lot of stuff they have to iron out here in a couple of weeks, because this training camp is still scheduled to start on the 28th. And the players don't want games because they'd rather have a longer acclimation period to practice to help avoid injuries. they feel like trying to rush to get back to preseason games, which do increase revenue. Let's be honest. That's a huge reason they do it. One home and one away is why they would do it, for revenue. But players are concerned that I've talked to about injury because they didn't have a regular off season. So if they rush it and they get back and you're worried about a pandemic and the coronavirus, and then all of a sudden you get a bunch of guys hurt, I mean, that kind of undermines the whole safety protocols of getting back in the first place.
Talking to our Broncos insider, Troy Ring, sponsored by Trainee Law. Troy, let's assume that we see a normal season, 16 games like we're talking about. Is there a Bronco in your mind that you're looking forward to that might have that breakout season, that you just might, kind of a sleeper guy, you're thinking, you know what, I want to keep my eye on this guy because he has a chance to have a big season in 2020. Is there somebody on the top of your list that way?
Well, I mean, there's guys that are more important than others, and it's not guys we haven't seen before, but we haven't seen it here, and that it begins and ends with Juwan James and Bryce Callahan. They're two free agents from a year ago. You know, Callahan did not play a snap, Jerry, last season because of the screw in his foot that got bent, and he had to have a new one put in, and he didn't play. And Juwan James played 63 snaps. So those were their two big offseason acquisitions, frankly, outside of Kareem Jackson. And if those two guys are functional players and play anything like their resume was before they got here, the Broncos' chances of going to the playoffs increase dramatically. Because cornerback's a position of concern for me. If Callahan's healthy and can play 12, 13 games, it's way less of a concern for me. Juwan James is a steady right tackle when he's on the field. So, I mean, they're not breakout players. It's just they are so important for me to get you from being 7-9 to that conversation of 9-7 and 10-6. Because they play premium positions at offensive tackle and cornerback. So I want to see it. Callahan is a really good player when healthy. And again, James, when he's healthy and he's been kind of an every other year player, he's almost like a reliever at baseball. This would seem to be his other year. His last year he didn't play. I mean, he just could not get on the field and stay on the field. So those are the two guys I want to see healthy and see where this team goes. Because it'd almost be like having a double free agent class, given what transpired last year with them unable to contribute.
Yeah, that'll be the interesting thing. The other thing about, you mentioned about the cornerback position is if Callahan can play, you know, like, does he go to the outside? Does he stay in the slot where he historically, you know, has played for Vic Fangio in the past where he's been really good? In 2018, he was tremendous in the slot for the Chicago Bears. So, but he does give you versatility in that he can play both positions.
Well, I would think that rookie from Iowa, Michael Amujia, I'm going to mispronounce it, Amujia, right?
Amujia?
Close enough. I know. I talked to Michael a couple of weeks ago. I should know it because I made him pronounce it to me, too. It's early. But he has a chance to start. He has that kind of talent. So that could keep Callahan as the slot. I mean, the kid from Iowa, don't sleep on him in terms of pushing for a starting job. Now, again, training camp's different and lack of preseason games. All that could impact it. In a normal summer, normal training camp, he would be pushing to start. This might complicate it, but keep an eye on him. You know, they got Devontae Harris, they've got Bosby coming back, they've got Duke Dawson, and they've got options at corner, just no one that solidified it. I mean, let's say it's Bosby starts and you keep Callahan in the slot. That, it's just, if Callahan plays, it just opens up. Now you have like three, four other guys to kind of answer one issue instead of two issues.
Hey, let's switch gears to baseball for a moment, Troy. And Bud Black came out yesterday and said something that was very interesting, and it kind of turned my head, and I thought, wow, he's making a good point, saying the left side of his infield with Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story is the best in baseball. Kind of hard to argue, isn't it? I mean, what would you think about that, those two?
Yeah, I mean, right now, they make the case. I mean, you look at the Padres with Tatis and Machado at some point in a few years might be in that conversation. I mean, Tatis is that kind of player.
Yep.
You look at, you know, when Seager plays short and you got Justin Turner from an offensive perspective for the Dodgers, those two are really good. But defensively, Trevor is a gold glove caliber shortstop. Yep. I mean, I think he's going to win one someday. And Nolan's, to me, the best I've ever seen. And they both put up tremendous offensive numbers. You know, they affect the game on both sides of the ball on a nightly basis. And you can't say that about a lot of players. I mean, people think you can, but you look up the numbers, and oh, that's a nice guy offensively. He's okay. I mean, you're talking about two guys in the middle of their order who do it, you know, every night. And that's why I've said if they play 60 games and those two play all 60, I mean, that's a huge advantage for the Rockies. Any game they're in the lineup is an advantage. So I don't disagree with them. I don't watch the games every day like I used to with other teams, but if you're going to tell me there's one better, I would say I have an argument.
Yep.
Based not only in statistics, but the eye test with Nolan and Trevor defensively. I don't know who else I would take. I mean, Brandon Crawford's an amazing shortstop in San Francisco, for instance, but who's at third? You know, Evan Longoria's not that guy anymore. I mean, there's teams you look at and go, you find one. I don't know you could find two better on that side of the infield.
Yeah, I think it's amazing when you talk about their defensive prowess, and obviously when you're talking about, you know, you're talking about Nolan Arenado, like you said, he makes Sublime just look routine every day. It's just ridiculous. But both of those guys offensively, the power numbers they put up, I'm with you. That's a fun group to watch every night.
Correct. Carlos Correa and Bregman, when they're on the field together, they would be in the conversation as well.
Yeah, but you can't take those batting numbers because they know what's coming, Troy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's
bang the garbage can.
Already. I mean, we already have an argument there that we win.
I've got Bregman. If you take odds on who gets hit most by the Astros this season, yeah. I take Bregman one. It's probably going to go Altuve and then Springer. But Bregman, he better have the Craig Biggio shin pad, arm pads ready.
Yeah, that guy.
I'm not recommending it, but he's going to get hit. Players have not forgotten.
He needs to look like, remember the football movie, Little Giants, where they had the mom dress the kid up in like bubble wrap? That's what Bregman needs to look like.
For the first couple of weeks, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Troy, hold on a second here. I got somebody who wants to say hi to you. Just a second. Hold on. Hey, Troy, it's Jim Tracy. It's good to hear from you again. One of my favorite writers, Troy Rank. Hey, Troy, how's your kids doing in baseball? You talked about your kids a lot. Tell me what they're up to.
Jerry, you are amazing. You are spitting fire today, my friend. The favorite thing Jim Tracy would always say was, he'd finish a sentence, my mentor, and you would know him by the name of one Felipe Alou. that came up like in every story. You would know him by the name of one Felipe Alou.
Did I ever tell you the time I put the black bean in to pinch hit in Miami? We had first and second, nobody out, Troy. And I put the black bean in there to put a bunt down. He gets two strikes, and what's he do? Hits a three-run dinger-donger. We win the game. Troy, I love this game. I love it. I love baseball.
Oh, my word. You made my morning, Jerry. Jimmy, Jerry, whatever.
Oh, man. Troy and Jim Tracy used to have some great conversations about baseball. No, oh, my gosh.
Jim Tracy's salt of the earth.
Isn't he great, guys?
Troy, thanks, man. We appreciate
we'll
you, buddy.
Thank you, Troy.
See ya.
All right, Troy Boy, we'll let him go. It's sponsored by Trainee Law.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.